The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord. Thank you. While we are waiting, be at peace. Be seated. Good morning, all you brave souls. This morning, I want to talk about a phenomenon that happens in our country at this time of year. We just go nuts for Christmas. We do more between Thanksgiving and December 24th than any other 4 weeks of the year. We send cards and letters. We put lights outside. We bring a tree inside. We cook special foods. We get gifts. We have parties. We just go nuts for Christmas. And I believe there's a good reason for this. This is the time of year when we celebrate the incarnation, which is a big word, which means that through the life of Jesus, God made a major revelation. That God manifests in human form in the life of Jesus. That's what incarnation, that's what Christmas means. That God manifested in a human. Now, it feels to me like somewhere in the collective unconscious, there is an awareness of the magnitude of this revelation, that like Jesus, every human being is a particular manifestation of God. Every human being is a particular manifestation of God and is here now for a particular reason. Now, you may know that since going to Iona Abbey last April, I've been delving into the study of Celtic theology, which is kind of funny after 35 years when your name is Molly Maisie O'Neill, but that's what's happened. And as you may have experienced yourselves, when you agree to teach something, you probably learn more than the students. So I want to say a little bit about what Celtic theologians knew and wrote down in the year 380, before the Romans took over Christianity. Pelagius, that great heretic, his conviction was that the image of God is at the heart of the human. To look into the face of a newborn child is to see the image of God. I think that is why when we baptize a baby here, there is such heartfelt joy in the faces of the older folks when that new infant is introduced to us. We see the image of God in the face of that baby. And for many of us, when we first hold our children as newborns, we know at a deep level within ourselves that they are sacred. The births of our children often are the most holy moments of our lives. Then Irigena, another great Celtic teacher, taught that God has created everything out of God's own essence. Everything. However much the cosmos is, and we don't know, right down to the tiniest subatomic particle, everything is out of the essence of God. And that Jesus comes to reawaken us to our true nature, to show us our face, the face of God, the true face of the human soul. At the heart of our being is the image of God, the wisdom of God, the creativity of God, the passions of God, the longings of God. Celebrating Jesus' birth helps us to remember who we are. Like Jesus, our life comes from the very substance of God's life. In Jesus, we see our truest self. The image of God is the essence of our being, the core of the human soul. We are sacred, not because we belong to one faith or even because we were baptized. We're sacred because we were born. So every one of us is a brother or sister to that baby who lies in the manger. This awareness, this teaching, this revelation in Jesus' life and birth is life-changing. To me, it makes sense that we go nuts for Christmas. The revelation that, like Jesus, we are a manifestation of God, we are part of God, we are made of stardust, gives our lives meaning, purpose, and shows us our true nature. Now, I mentioned that delving into Celtic theology, I've had to do some research and some study. And as a woman of faith, I have wondered for some time what the relationship between Jesus, his mother, his grandmother, and his aunts, all of whom were around through his life and death, where did those women fit in to his spiritual development? So I studied the role of Jewish women in Jesus' time and found that what we have been taught about the role of women in Judaism is grossly misunderstood. In fact, the position of women in Jewish law at the time that Jesus was living in many ways was better than the position of American women in civil law 100 years ago. The respect accorded to women in Jewish tradition is part of their ethnic culture. Judaism has always maintained that their God has both masculine and feminine qualities, and in traditional Judaism, the religion teaches that women are endowed with a greater degree of bina, wisdom, intelligence. Are you listening, dudes? Wisdom, intelligence, intuition, understanding. A greater degree than men. The primary role of a woman in traditional Judaism is as wife, mother, and keeper of the household. The child of a Jewish woman and a Gentile man will be Jewish because of the mother's spiritual influence. So the idea that women have no role in Jewish religion's life is totally unfounded. Jewish religious life revolves not around the synagogue. Jewish religious life revolves around the home. The Jewish religion is not something that happens in the synagogue. It permeates every aspect of your life, everything you do, from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to bed, from what you eat and how you dress to how you conduct business. Now, learning this simply backed up my intuition that Jesus' mother was not forever a 15-year-old virgin. That Jesus' mother Mary, his grandmother Anna, his aunts, his mother's sisters, all of whom were there his entire life and death, these are the people who would have been in the kitchen every day. They taught him his spirituality, his religion, his morals. And because he was a Nazarene, and the Nazarene sect of Judaism, women are teachers and prophets, as well as men. It is likely that his mother Mary was a major teacher, and that her star pupil was Magdalene. It also gives us insight into why he related so well to women, and how many of the stories about his ministry, his healing, his interaction, his teaching, are interactions with women. People he should never have been talking to, much less touch. Because as a teacher, he was seen as an Orthodox rabbi. Orthodox rabbis did not touch women, they did not talk to women. In his upbringing, women taught him. And I bring this up because I feel convicted to say that the reason that the author of the Gospel of Luke puts the Magnificat as Mary's song is because Mary was a strong, prophetic, faithful leader in Judaism, and had a major impact on the formation of the prophet, teacher, and healer that Jesus became. So when we sing the Magnificat next Sunday, I just want you to understand who Mary really is and why Luke put that song in her mouth. This Advent and every Advent, we are awaiting and celebrating the birth of Jesus, In the birth of Jesus, God showed us who we really are, where we come from, who we belong to, where we will return. And like Jesus, who grew up in a family whose parents taught him their spirituality, their religion, their traditions, we have the same responsibility and opportunity that Mary and Joseph had for teaching Jesus. We just go nuts for Christmas because in the birth of Jesus, we are reminded of our true selves. We too are a manifestation of God, each one of us unique and here now for a reason. It gives our life meaning and purpose. There is nothing we can do, no present, no decorations, no light display that can improve on the gift God revealed in the birth of Jesus. But this Advent, we could take time to savor and take it in. We could take time to close our eyes for a couple minutes and be at peace. Amen.